The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
He throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown!
Is an investigated fabrication. It's wabbit season. Duck season. Wabbit season. Duck season. Wabbit season. Duck season. Wabbit season. Wabbit season. Duck season. Wabbit season. I say it's duck season, and I say fire.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You're listening to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. I think like most of you, you're probably listening to this, you're still sleepy, tired and hungover from Sunday when the Bills went 10-4 and actually made and cemented their place in the playoffs. This is episode 42. Matt here, and Alex, I have to ask you this question. How do you like your duck?
You know, I've had one duck in my life. It was a burger, and it was greasy and disgusting, but I like it with four interceptions is how I like it.
Burnt and
yeah.
Crisp, then.
Super burnt, very crisp, absolutely.
And very flat.
Yeah, he's bad. I would not be surprised if they go to Mason Rudolph in the next game.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then again, they're never gonna play. They don't play anybody like us going forward. So
no, well, Ravens in week 17, but
yeah,
they'll probably lock up the starters if they get the one seed.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I mean, 4:24 a.m. the moment the Bills sealed their second playoff appearance in 3 years under Sean McDermott. That's going to make you feel good.
You know, I was shocked that I didn't fall asleep. It was my first year in the UK. We played Thursday Night Football against the Jets, and I gave up at halftime, and I think we lost anyway. But, you know, there's so much surrounding this game, and maybe it's because I'm exhausted, but I've concluded that my mind is broken. We won this game, and all I can think about and want to talk about are the things that we need to improve. I think it's a condition of being one of the worst teams over the last two decades. I mean, I want to talk about Josh Allen and how I didn't like his footwork or his body positioning. I want to talk about our undersized wide receivers and a lack of a true 50-50 guy. I want to talk about the drops. I want to talk about trusting the defense too much, specifically on our last two offensive drives. But wouldn't it be better if we talked about how great it is to lock down a playoff spot in week 15?
Oh, yes. Oh, hell yes on that one.
I mean, wouldn't it be great to talk about how stars were made last night? Yeah. I mean, this is foreign territory for me. I think for most of us, really. I mean, in the Dallas preview show, I talked about our primetime woes. This had the script of a game that we could have blown, but we didn't. And it's really finally time to say that this team is different. There's no Leotis McKelvin fumble. There's no Fitzpatrick interception in the fourth quarter. There's no defense getting carved up. There's no Trent Edwards check down over and over and over again, and no offensive touchdowns. you know, I'm tired. You know, I'm exhausted. I don't think I saw daylight at all today, but I mean, I'm excited. This is jubilation. I bought a VPN so I could listen to Buffalo Sports Talk Radio. it didn't last long because it's not great. There's just you can only listen to so many people call in. and ask the same questions over and over again, right? But you know, I killed my phone battery twice today while liking so many things on Buffalo Twitter. This is new territory for me. I like it. How do you feel?
Well, I think, well, you know me, I run the Twitter account, both this and the podcast one, and I'm surprised my phone didn't explode, especially overnight.
Because you don't have a Samsung Galaxy Note 3, I think it was, right? Was that the one that was exploding? I don't know. Anyway.
I have no idea, but I have got a Samsung Galaxy.
All right. Well, as long as it's not the – I think it's like the Note – do you remember it? Whatever, that's my job is coming into this. It doesn't matter. We don't need to talk about tech. But yeah, let's continue to talk about the Bills.
I'm just glad it didn't explode, especially when the phone was right next to my head mostly.
Yeah.
I think it's just something that is a few years in the making, I think, and is showing what the culture and what are aiming to do and are trying to do. I think obviously Jeff commented it on our last episode. They're building the culture. The culture's there. They've got the blueprint in place, and the Bills are now, got a couple of stats I'm going to throw in. The Bills are now 10-4 for the first time since 93, 6-1 on the road for the second time in history, and the first time since 64. And the win was the first win Buffalo had in Pittsburgh since 1975. So, Jesus. Long overdue. But I think for me, it's just pure ecstatic. And as I say, my Twitter went off so much. I mean, first of all, I want to give a shout out to every single Bills fan, not just in the UK, but in Europe. I had a couple of tweets from someone in Denmark who actually stayed up. Yep, that stayed up late to actually watch us clinch it. So for all you that actually stayed up late, for those who only had an hour or two sleep before going to work, or those who did not sleep and go straight to work, thank you. That one would be for you guys. And it shows what a fan base we actually we have. I think I've had so many responses from people in America actually saying how good and how loyal and how fanatic we are as a fan base over here in the UK and also in the in Europe. So I'm scrolling through the whole Twitter and everything I've listed and I've saved and liked and all that to give you some reactions. Some are going, I can't sleep. Alarm's due to go off in 30 minutes. This was about what? I was about 4:30, just before 5 o'clock in there. Got another one saying, too many likes. One from
when you make the playoffs, you can never have too many likes.
One saying, some of us went to bed, got up early to watch it instead, which that's fair enough.
That would have been smarter. Yeah. That would have been smarter.
Another one from America said that some dedicated fans that Bills are in feel so great to be in the playoffs for it. The original UK Bills backer, Nick Manning. He tweeted us, she said, you're always up. So, and obviously we got to give shout out to him because he was the original UK Bills backer. If people were on the NFL UK forum back in the day, you would have known him. Other ones are just thanking us and actually saying it's a great victory Monday. Flipping that, there is so many. you're doing us proud across the pond. One goes, Jesus, the one team you chose to support is the Bills, true fan right there. the guy in Denmark, he messaged me back saying, here in Denmark, we had the same amount of advices. Always traveling with Bills gang, tell you that Bills Mafia is all over the EU. What was it? Game finished, got changed, and now at work for a 12-hour shift from Stuart Baxter. So oh, that's pretty much, that's dedication for you right there.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I could go on and on and on. Well worth staying up. Got work at 6. Playoff bound now. I think I need to write these down. Actually, may do a go over the rest of them a bit later on. There are so many. I mean,
the consensus clearly is we will make physical and mental sacrifices for this football team.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of fan bases that I think will have the proportion of fans that'll do that for their team.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're doing it worldwide is just unbelievable to me. I mean, growing up in Buffalo, thinking that there are no fans outside of Buffalo, and if there are, it's just people who have left Buffalo, which has been a thing that has been steadily happening for years. But just to see that people became Bills fans, not just because they were born there, but because they wanted to be, they were inspired to be, it's such a great thing. And to see everyone coming together now as one based on the success, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, we're even getting respect and love from fans of other teams. I mean, we've had the UK Raiders actually tweet us saying, "Bill's having one hell of a season, rooting for you guys." We had someone that was a Indianapolis Colts fan. I'm just scrolling through to find that that tweet now. Where is it?
I think that's how you become America's team. You get the support from other fan bases. I mean, I don't think there's any fan base out there that has the backs of the Patriots or the Cowboys, you know?
Yeah.
Jerry Jones, sufferable. The Patriots are cheating assholes. Tom Brady wears Uggs. Nobody likes those quote-unquote popular teams. I mean, if we can get it, I mean, we're in the playoffs. We're being seen now. This is a team that, you know, signifies what, you know, the NFL is, what football is, what true fandom is. And I think that you're going to see a lot of followers increase on a lot of Bills, you know, fan pages, you know. The 26 shirts guys, the Bills Mafia guys, just getting the word out about this fan base, this organization and everything. It's really been just a whirlwind 24 hours of just support and everything about the thing that, you know, we all love, and now it's being seen by everyone.
A guy I actually talked to quite a bit, actually the guy that Nate that does the Circle the Wagon podcast, he mentioned on his pod last night that we are legit fans over here, and actually showing that much respect for us of staying up late to actually to watch it. Some didn't even go to bed, and all that. I just start thinking that it's something that we've got to be proud of as a UK based fan group, that we're getting so much love, and the Bills Mafia is friendly, is worldwide, is a massive one big family, that we'll all support each other, we'll have each other's back. And one last tweet before we go on, I just want to quickly bring it up. I found it kind of funny. It was from Scott Barge. He said, "I'm hoping the wife shows mercy and gets up with the little one at 7. If not, it's going to be a long day at work at 12. So I hope that Scott, your other half did show you a bit of mercy. If not, keep going, brother. Keep going.
Yeah, good luck with that. I remember, as silly as it might have felt, but like after the game, I was so excited. I mean, my wife, she had to fall asleep. She had to, you know, she did not take Monday off of work. I did maybe in my exhausted state, I turned the light on accident and she woke up. But and then I took the opportunity to just, you know, throw her jersey at her and say, hey, just put this on. Just sleep in your Josh Allen jersey. I'm sleeping in my Fred Jackson jersey. It's just a silly good feeling. But let's break some stuff down.
Yes. What have you got for me?
Well, in general, so after week 15, the Bills' simple rating system is improved to 2.9 overall. That they are now statistically, based off of what an average team would look like, the fourth best team in the AFC. We have the seventh best point differential in the league. And I think one of the best post-game comments was Deion Dawkins saying that this is normal now. The Bills have been a playoff team 2 out of the last 3 years, and this is what it will be for years to come. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that, I mean, just what Jordan Phillips said in post-game talking about and right in front of Brandon Bean, it's what Jeff Reinbold talked about, our organization, our culture. You know, 2 years ago when everyone was talking about trust the process, and we went 9-7, but it was looking ugly at times. You know, you start Nathan Peterman against the Chargers. How am I supposed to trust that process? How am I supposed to trust that coaching staff? But, it was at the point where I was like, every team says this. But we picked the right players, and we're still building. It took 2 years to build this defense, and we're in year 1 of this offensive rebuild.
Yeah.
I mean, Deion Sanders today said, imagine what this team could be if our passing offense was just middle of the road. Right now we're 27th. After Monday Night Football, it might be 28th, depending on how many air yards the Colts put up. But the best thing about this is, 2 years ago it felt like one and done. But this is just the start.
Yeah.
This is something that you should expect for years to come.
Yeah. I think it's what we've always been saying. I think it is a process. It is still a project, so to speak, because you're still
the offenses. I mean, the defense. Oh, yeah. I think the defense is what we want it to be.
Yeah, I think with that you're gonna have a bit of decision, maybe the odd one or two spots to fill in this coming off season, and that's pretty much it. I think we'll return. Possibly what? Possibly 10. Maybe the whole 11. Defense.
Well, we have money for it. That's the best part. We have the money for it. You know?
But
if it only took 2 years to rebuild the defense, then you got to consider that whatever we add next year to the offense is going to be what Bean and McDermott had envisioned. So if we could be better next year, like I said, I've been saying it all year. If our offense could just be 15th or 16th with this top 5 defense, you're looking at a perennial Super Bowl contender. And I almost choked saying that because who would have ever thought that the early 90s would, you know, return, you know? I've experienced 0% success with this team forever, and this is just such a great place to be at.
I mean, going on that with the obviously offense, there were times yesterday I was actually I actually wanted to scream and shout at some of the play calling, but I managed to refrain myself. But there are still times where there needs to be some clarification on what they want to do and actually work a bit more on the mechanics. But it's as we say, it's a work in progress. There's probably two, maybe three positions on that offense that just need to be added to make it that hopefully just the middle of the road to start with.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dawson Knox needs to take a step forward. I think we need one more piece on the offensive line, and we need that 50-50 wide receiver. But I think one of the most contested points in the game was the drive to end the first half. There's a lot of talk on Twitter about how, oh my God, go try and get points. And sometimes I just want to say, like, have you been watching the game?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's defense is legit. We don't have Baltimore's offense. The Patriots would have done the same thing. There's a minute 53 left. You still have all three timeouts, but you're on your own nine against this defense, the Steelers defense that you've seen are ball hawking. They're strong. Yeah. They're aggressive. They're going to go for the ball. So at that point, I said on Twitter, like, we did the right thing.
Exactly.
The Steelers offense has zero threat to us. It's fine to go in at 7-3. So what would you have preferred on that drive?
To be honest, we went in 7-3. We were holding them in check. I think it was only the first quarter we really got gashed by James Conner, I believe.
Yeah, and we held them. It's about him later.
Yeah. So I think at that point they sort of knew to themselves that they were going to that they could hold out. Obviously, the first drive in the second half was a bit of an eye-opener. They didn't adjust and didn't come out warm enough. But for that drive at the end, I would have taken the three. Just get us moving. Just keep the possession and actually keep the ball, even if it meant run. Just run out the clock. Because you try and play, as you say, from your 9-yard line. If that interception that Josh Allen threw was in that drive just before half time, you're then going from 7-3 into the lead, going into the half, to 10-7 down, and then it will become a different ball game with Pittsburgh starting the second half. So I do understand why fans want them to be a bit more expansive, want them with the three timeouts to try and at least go get a field goal, if not a touchdown. But you've just got to look at the fact that at where they were, you don't want to risk a turnover, a fumble, an interception, a sack or anything like that, that could take you back into the end zone and the Steelers even get a safety out of it.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of room for error there, and the Bills did the smart thing.
Mm.
Singletary for 4 yards, timeout. Singletary for 5 yards, Singletary for 3 yards, go into the locker room.
Yeah, I think at the time, I don't think Pittsburgh really had any timeouts left, so Bills had...
There was no threat of, I'm conflicted because, who doesn't want more points? Who doesn't want an aggressive offense? I'm not saying that I'm okay with being conservative. I'm saying I'm okay with being smart. If we're playing a better offense, then we probably go for points.
Yeah. I mean, if we were at, say, our own 40 or 45, we started with the same amount of time, then
Even if we're at the 25, we got the ball on a turnover, so that's why we're at the 9. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, and I think in any situation, it's just run and get it over with and kind of regroup. Yeah. If we're playing Houston, then I think, we're going to try and go for points. And if it's a playoff game and it's 7-3 against Houston or Tennessee or Kansas City, then we're going to go for points, I think. You have to think situational football.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's the one thing I love about the fan base and the interactions, not only we just have on Twitter, but on our Facebook chat group, that everyone wants the best. Everyone sometimes just needs to just take those few moments and understand the situation, understand the position and go, yeah, okay, we want them to be expansive. We want them to be aggressive. But you look at the... you look at the position they're in, you look at where they are on the field and how long's left, and you would want to actually make sure that they don't score or they don't concede a turnover. So I can see where it's going, and this is what I like about the fan base. They're passionate regardless of what we do in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a product of just how shitty we've been for so long.
Mm.
It's so hard to give credit to a logo, because it's we're in that instance, we're not thinking about McDermott or Dable. We're looking at the logo, and we're saying, oh, same old Bills. And you just have to realize, and I think it might take one more year to really kind of get the last 17 years out of our system, you know? But I think, I mean, in identifying that this is a different team, let's talk about some of the players. I was going to start with offense, but I think it's better to start with defense in this situation. Did anybody on our defense have a good game?
Well, Tre'Davious White. Levi Wallace actually I think he may have got burnt once or twice, but he still had a solid game, and obviously he wrapped up the win with the interception in the end zone.
I mean the spotlight was on Tre'Davious White and Tremaine Edmonds all game from you know the crew at NBC, and they focused on the right players. I mean, everybody got a little bit of the spotlight in this game, and I think no longer will anybody say, oh, they haven't played anybody. I mean, they dominated a team that they were supposed to. I mean, and this is what good defenses do. They look like this in games like this.
Yeah.
So now Trey White is the second best corner in the game. Tremaine Edmonds is an up and coming linebacker that you have to pay attention to. Mekhi Jordan Poyer are guys who need to get respect for being field generals and knowing
Matt
how to
Milano
run a
as
defense.
Well. Matt Milano as well.
He was maybe the one guy who was invisible last night. I think.
I don't know. He came up when needed. Yes, he had that one.
Well, the only thing I remember from him yesterday was the face mask penalty. Other than that, I can't say I really noticed him doing anything. But, I mean, Jordan Phillips, dude is going to get paid. Yeah. It's not unfair. It's silly what he's been able to do with us. And I want to hope that other GMs are like, oh, he's only doing that because of the system. And people are – I hope he gets underpitched. Because then we get to re-sign him, I think.
Yeah. I think...
Because, I mean, what he's been able to do is provide, you know, just depth at that position. With Harrison Phillips coming back next year, I mean, a rotation there. Just you have guys who can do everything on this defense. It's fantastic. They only had a few, like, three or four bad plays out of the whole game. Other than that, they dominated this bad quarterback. And what they did was, aside from the personnel, it was with coaching, we outcoached one of the best coaches in the last decade.
Yeah.
I mean, you could imagine what the game would have looked like if, like, Big Ben and Juju were in the game, but the Steelers were running the ball, and then we made them stop running the ball. And that's adjustments, that's coaching, that's personnel, that's everyone doing their job, figuring out, hey, why did that happen? Let's stop it. James Conner, good in the game, only had 8 carries. I mean, if I'm Tomlin, I find a way to feature him. I don't make Hodges throw the ball, 35 times? Tomlin made bad decisions in that game. They needed to have found a way to run the ball, and they didn't. And they threw the ball 38 times. You don't win a game with your third string quarterback throwing 38 times against the top 3 pass rushing pass defense in the league. So McDermott and Leslie Frazier, kudos to you. You did all of the right things.
Yeah, I think the main struggle we're going to have at the end of the season now is with what Jordan Phillips has done. And what he's on 9 sacks, leading all of NFL defensive tackles.
What's his face for the Rams?
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, I think they're tied.
No, I thought Aaron Donald had less. I thought
he had 9. Whatever. I'll look it up.
But yeah, you've got
talking. I mean, you can talk about. I mean, you. I think this is another thing, and I mean, I don't want to target you here, but you like talking about the off season and free agents and what are we going to sign and who are we going to draft. I think it's just because you're so used to needing to talk about that.
Yeah.
I don't care what they do with Jordan Phillips in the off season because we still have games left.
Exactly.
You know? And like that's what I want to focus on, and it's I mean, I have to catch myself too because I want to look at wide receiver free agents. I want to look at wide college wide receivers and stuff like that. But yeah. Isn't it great not need to?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's definitely something that I'm actually more used to than anything. But I think
Aaron Donald has 11 sacks.
Okay.
So in the AFC, Jordan Phillips as a defensive tackle has the most sacks. But in the NFC and in the NFL, it's Donald 1, Phillips 2 in the whole league. So that's still hell of an accomplishment. You can't put anybody in Aaron Donald's category, you know? And even when Phillips isn't getting sacks, he's making huge plays in pressure and in run stop.
Yeah.
We could talk all we want about the you know, not getting Ed Oliver 80% snaps, but isn't it great to not have to force your rookie to do that? Defense is just is built so well. But I know at the top of the show I said I didn't want to talk about some bad things, but we do have to talk about the offense and Josh Allen throwing 52%.
Mm-hmm.
Airmailed a few throws. Cole Beasley, 1 for 6. I think only 2 were Josh's fault, though. I mean, in prime time, after you're talking about how Dallas disrespected you and how, we trust you, you can't have drops like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. I think I saw people saying that one was on Josh Allen. I don't think that was on Josh Allen. I think you could see Cole Beasley actually got up and it hit him on the hands. He couldn't grab it in. So I think as much as I see people actually say that, I don't think that interception was on Josh Allen this time. But yeah, the drops, it's something that they need to work on. I think
it's a very polarizing point because with Josh, he's throwing the ball in a place where the wide receivers are only having to go get it.
Yeah.
But with the size of our wide receivers, when you go up for a ball like that as a wide receiver, you're not only thinking about catching the ball, you're thinking about, holy shit, what's going to happen when I catch the ball? Because John Brown short-armed one, Cole Beasley, he laid out for it. At the same time, you're immediately thinking about, holy shit, I'm going to get clocked. And Josh has to maybe put his wide receivers in a better position to save them from A, getting hit, but B, if you want the catch, it's got to be in a place where the wide receivers aren't scared of maybe dying, once they do make the catch. But credit goes to Pittsburgh. They made a lot of really great tackles. I remember Frank Gore busted one outside and a safety or a nickel corner came in and made a great ankle tackle. It's what everybody thought. 17 was going to be how you win this game, 17-10.
Yeah.
I am waiting, though, to just be proven wrong and Josh comes out and just drops dimes on a good defense and has that game where it's like, hey, he could do this. That's fantastic. Instead of just being that fourth quarter guy. I want to not worry about Singletary fumbling, but because he's smart, he's strong. He's making the right decisions, the right cuts. I mean, that 15-yard gain from the 30 to set up the touchdown was patient. He saw the hole, burst through it. It's great.
Yeah.
I think that for a running back to get stripped from a guy who's coming from behind, I mean, we don't have eyes in the back of our head. In the helmet even obstructs view even more. So when you get strip tackled from behind and you fumble, yeah, you got to be strong on that ball. But I mean, in a situation like that, it's tough to, I think, really blame him 100%. Because yeah. I mean, that's just what Pittsburgh does. I mean, their turnover ratio is their second place isn't even close. It's unfair how good they are at turning the ball over. And so hopefully we don't have to worry about Singletary going forward. I don't know. What do you think?
I think, yeah, there can be a bit of doubt in there, but I think that's just with learning. I think what he's done so far, I can see, I just see him as someone that he knows, he believes in himself. He's got that confidence. He's got that ability to think to himself, let's go forward. I know I'm going to be able to get 6, 7, 10 yards, get into the end zone. That's probably the reason why he's not protecting like Frank Gore does, because we all know Gore is more of your straight ahead bulldozing type player, where Singletary, he is pretty much a human joystick when he plays. I mean, when he got the ball punched out by, I think it was TJ Watt or something, or he did another move, yeah, something like that.
He's good at football. He was drafted, I think, 3-4 picks after Trey White. I think for a second I thought, who would you rather have? But I mean, I don't think you can make a bad decision there, so it doesn't really matter, you know.
No, I'm just loving how we're still getting not much love from national media. I watched when I woke up, I came down, watched a bit of the pre-game show. They had, I think, it's only two people really went for the Bills. Everyone else actually said, no, it's Pittsburgh all the way. Pittsburgh going to be too good for the Bills. Duck Hodges going to actually, it's going to work, it's going to help out. And the defense is just too good for this Bills defense. I mean, this is the second time.
Let them keep doubting. Don't pick the Bills. Keep being wrong.
Yeah, it's the second time in 2 weeks that we've been in the game, whether it's been won or lost by the odd score, where Josh has thrown for, I think, less than 150 on both occasions, but yet we are still able to make stuff happen, whether it be from the run or from our defense, to know that regardless of having a 300-yard passer or not, that you have found ways of actually getting that offense moving, getting that offense into position. Yes, as we mentioned earlier in the podcast, it's going to be ups and downs where they're still trying to get the right formation, the right type of offense, and the right players involved on it. But it's been proven that regardless of the schedule, and you can only play what's put in front of you, you can't really blame the schedule for the Bills being 10-4 at the moment, because that's the way the NFL actually sorted the schedule out. That's down to them. But I think you're getting to a point where there is going to be time. You are going to see this offense build a lot more. But as I say, it's proven that we've kept games to, I think, with the occasional couple that I think that were a bit more out there in regards to losses. I think all the other games where we've lost, we've kept close to within a score, and knowing that a couple of pieces will be there, will be constantly challenging for playoffs. So it's the future is definitely looking bright. I would say that. I think
new territory. I love it. Did you put that X in front of your Twitter handle this morning?
Hey,
did you put that X in your Twitter handle this morning? You got to do that. Every Bills fan, put that X on your Twitter handle. We clinch the playoffs. Put that X next to your Twitter handle.
That's what I was saying. I saw a load of that. I was thinking, what the hell was that all about?
Yeah.
But I just, obviously, another thing that obviously I found out, obviously, Duck Hodges came out at the after the game, actually said that Bills defense is probably one of the best, and they seem to have blitzed more times on first and second down against him than they've done throughout the season. So this defense, I'm still not calling it elite. I still think there's a few gaps that they need to shore up, mainly obviously starting out and obviously the run game, because even though they did stop James O'Connor, they've stopped Ezekiel Elliott, they've stopped all the big guys actually cracking off runs, you're still losing out and stuff and getting burnt a little bit more by the second, third string type running backs. But this offense, I say, is a work in progress, and I've got a couple more stats which I'm going to read out before I go back and actually try and go through all these likes to find a few more reactions to the games from your followers. I mean, John Brown, he's our first wide receiver to score 1,000, to record 1,000 plus receiving yards since Sammy Watkins in 2015. I think he's on pace for potentially 1,200 odd yards or something like that. I think he's at 1,000.
Well, I don't. Next week's going to be one hell of a challenge.
Yeah. But then he's got the Jets last game of the season.
Right.
but no. Another one is Josh Allen now recorded his sixth career fourth quarter comeback. He's now surpassed Joe Ferguson for the most fourth quarter comebacks in a Bills quarterback as a Bills quarterback. Flipping tiredness. God damn it. In their first two seasons, Joe Ferguson had five fourth quarter comebacks. Obviously, Allen's now got six. So the signs are there. The records are being... the records are being broken every day, and I just think it's looking up, and I think you'll see in the next couple of years that the Bills will become that perennial playoff team.
All right, I think we just need to cut it. It's time to go back to sleep. We're all sleep deprived. We're all excited and ecstatic, and the brain is just like, why are you celebrating the Bills winning? That never happens. So the brain's not handling it. And then it's like, why are you awake right now? You're on 2 hours of sleep. What are you doing? So
let's carry that excitement.
Let's carry that enthusiasm, right? One last thing.
I just want to. I've had a couple of tweets about this. It's something that we're going to be looking into. I've had a couple of tweets about chance of a playoff game party and event. So obviously January to address that. It's something that we're going to be working on. We're going to see what we can do. Obviously, we will not know what day or what time we're going to be playing. We could get the wild card, we could get divisional, but we'll be working behind the scenes to get something, mainly in London, but we're going to also try and see if we can get something up north for our Northern Bills fans. So keep an eye out on this podcast, on Twitter, on social media, where we'll hopefully give you more information on that. So is there anything else before I start falling asleep? That you want to add to this podcast, Alex?
My God, no. Let's end this. I need to go to sleep. Please.
Okay, so on that note, thank you for listening. Keep subscribing, interacting, reviewing, and for this time, until next time, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Hope you've slept well, or you'll have a nice sleep to actually get off the wear and tear from the late night, and it's a sleepy Go Bills.
See you in the playoffs. Go Bills.
Anything about heart? You know anything about work?
No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.